Hi, I'm Beth Massey, and I'm here with Dustin Campbell, a program manager on the Managed Languages team. How's it going, Dustin?
It's going well. It's going really well.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get to Microsoft? How did you get on the languages team? How long have you been here?
I've been at Microsoft now for 6 years. I joined the languages team. I was actually interviewing for an F-sharp dev position.
Okay.
I was a C-sharp MVP at the time, interviewing for an F-sharp job, and wound up getting the role as the VB IDE PM for Visual Studio 2010.
Cool.
And so, yeah, and then shortly after that, I moved over to Roslyn after the shipping of Visual Studio 2010. I've been there for what I like to say is a tenth of my lifespan.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool. So what have you been working on lately?
Right now, I mean, we're kind of getting the finishing touches on this. You know, at Build, we released Roslyn open source, at least the compilers and the services layers. And we've also recently released a Visual Studio 14 CTP finally includes the new Roslyn IDE experiences also. And so we're kind of getting the finishing touches on that and trying to, get ready for the next version of Visual Studio.
Cool. So. Absolutely. Awesome. So let's tell me a little bit about this Roslyn project and, you know, what it really is and what does it mean to me as just a .NET developer.
Okay. So Roslyn... Roslyn is kind of a rethinking and rebuilding of kind of the C-sharp and Visual Basic stacks. We started with the compilers that take your source code and they build them out to .NET assemblies at the end. They used to be written in C++, and we've rebuilt those in C-sharp and Visual Basic. So they're actually written
in their respective languages,
right? That means nothing to you as a .NET developer, not
absolutely.
Really.
It's cool.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Now, in doing that, one of the key things we wanted to do was to kind of expose APIs from these compilers so that any information about source code that you would use to, say, build tools or do analysis and build kind of the rich tooling that's really become kind of the standard today, that was actually really hard for us to do on the old compilers.
Okay.
By rebuilding these compilers, we can expose APIs that allow us to build new features and new language features, new IDE experiences, richer experiences. Also allowing others to build really cool experiences, building on an ecosystem of extensions. In the past, if you wanted to build something that did something really cool with C# code, you're kind of on your own. You like go write a parser and have a good time, build the front end of a compiler. And now that job's done for you, right? And it ships as part of Visual Studio. So if you want to write an extension to Visual Studio, all of that information is there for you to write things.
So it benefits me because it makes it easier for our extensibility partners to build richer tools and you guys to build richer tools for me
for
to
you.
Use.
Right. So I think of it in these kind of concentric circles. I think of it as like the tens, the thousands, and the millions. So the tens are us, my team, right? We have kind of dealt with for a number of years just the fact that it's really expensive to build, features into the product.
Okay.
When the C# language design team or the VB language design team comes down with a new language feature, it's expensive to add that into the compiler. Things that you would think are small, they're not small.
Okay.
They're always medium size, and then you never get to build all the IDE features you want. We want to build with factorings. We want to build cooler IntelliSense. All those kinds of things, but we don't get to because we spend a lot of the time making sure that we're supporting the language and the IDE features. So part of the Roslyn project, part of the benefit is for the tens, where we get a clean architecture that we can now build these features more easily. The small features are actually small,
okay,
right, in cost now. The thousands, I think of as partners, right? So that's going to be external. It's going to be internal as well. We've had a number of teams come to us and say, hey, we want to use Roslyn for this. We have this great idea. For years, teams have been coming to us with great ideas, and we've been saying, sorry, it's kind of a closed box, and it's not really anything we can do for you. Now, with Roslyn, we can stop saying sorry. We can say, yeah, of course, here, go write this. And in fact, in the last release of Visual Studio, there was a feature, CodeLens.
Mm-hmm.
And CodeLens was actually built on an early version of Roslyn. And to do that, especially the references indicator that showed, how many references there were to a method at the very, very top. That sort of feature would have been really hard to build, but with Roslyn, even that early build of Roslyn, it was something we could do. So we expect partners to be able to come to us and do more with that. And then also the external partner, building an ecosystem of tools. It'd be I think it would be really cool to see an ecosystem of free refactorings, free diagnostic analysis, free quick fixes, that sort of thing, that you can just go grab out of the VS Code Gallery, or even bring in as NuGets. One vision that we have that we're working on, and kind of shows up in the Visual Studio 14 CTP, is this idea that a NuGet package could carry around Roslyn-based diagnostic analysis with it. So you could have, say, some API come in through a NuGet package, and that API could have extra diagnostic analysis that would kind of
like
metadata? that would run at compile time, or run in the IDE and show up the squiggles, maybe even with quick fixes for those.
Okay.
You can imagine a good example would be like MSCoreLib has the regex library.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if MSCoreLib came with like static analysis that actually analyzed the string for the regex said, "Oh yeah, you got this wrong. It should be, you know, this instead."
Gotcha.
That sort of thing.
So like instructions for the compiler would be bundled along with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And then the millions, of course, is, you know, everybody gets to benefit from all of this rich extra tooling, all the kind of the benefits from the ecosystem, and all this is going to create a really, really exciting landscape of functionality that's going to be really, I think it's going to make people more productive. And that really excites me.
Well, that's the whole point in the end of the day, is to make you super productive.
Yep.
Great. All right. So, all right, I think I'm sold. So,
okay.
You got some demos of this thing that we can watch?
I do.
Okay.
I do have some demos.
All right. You want to jump in?
All right. So, what I'm looking at here, this is a, so I've just got a couple of projects, a C-sharp project, a couple of VB projects as well. Roslyn is for C-sharp and Visual Basic, and so we did a lot of work to make sure that, you know, the same richness that we had on one side ends up in both. Now, you're looking at Visual Studio 14. This is pretty much the CTP, pretty close to the CTP. And this is all new. Inside the editor, everything is brand new. We've kind of recreated all of it. We didn't just rebuild the compilers from scratch. We also rebuild the C-sharp and Visual Basic editing experiences from scratch.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so as we did that, we just added some nice things. You know, when you're re-implementing things like this outlining here, it's kind of nice to just do, you know, just add some little details, like now things are colorized, and it's just prettier. But there's definitely a freshness, a more modern kind of look to the IDE. Examples I hover over and you see the tooltips, and now they have colors in them and glyphs and that sort of thing. So this just comes from us kind of re-implementing it from scratch. Why do it exactly the same way? Why don't we just, you know, make things just incrementally a little bit better? Additionally, you'll see some things start lighting up in the IDE, like these using statements are, or the using directives are faded out here because they're unused.
Oh, right.
Right. And as soon as I move my caret up there, you see a light bulb, and allowing you to go ahead and remove those unused users, right? So there's kind of some analysis that's running all the time, and that's kind of new for Visual Studio. We've had a certain amount of analysis, but nothing like what we're going to be doing with Roslyn.
Okay.
So the code I've got here is the sort of code that I'm ashamed to write, but I'm a PM. Sometimes I write code like this. But this is just for calculating the volume of the cylinder, right? And then printing it out to the console. But when I come across code like this, I start to itch to kind of refactor it. And so the way refactoring is going to work in Roslyn, we kind of distinguish two activities of using a quick fix versus using refactoring. Up there at the very top with the faded usings, that was and the remove unused usings that came up there, that was a quick fix, and I would press Control Dot to do that. For refactorings, it's something you want to do. You're like, okay, I'm selecting some code. I want to do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Alt Dot. That's the way we've bound it to at this point.
Okay.
So I bring up Alt Dot, and that gives me a list of refactorings. Okay. And I want to introduce a local variable for all occurrences of the expression. Essentially, I want to take this expression, create a local variable, assign this expression to it, and then make a replacement all throughout. Now, what's cool, if you look over to the right of this, is that there's a preview showing you what's going to happen to your
code.
Cool. And this is the sort of richness that I was talking about that you get from Roslyn. This is actually, these are actually kind of like little potential futures, I like to think of them as, where, you know, it's kind of like a Doctor Who sort of thing, where this is, you know, the TARDIS could fly in and possibly take you to one of these destinations. Is it too nerdy for you?
It's kind of nerdy.
Okay, it's a little
cool.
Nerdy.
Right.
So I want to pick this one. And immediately I'm thrown into yet another experience. That's brand new. It's a fresher experience to our rename. We've had a rename and refactoring in both Visual Basic and C# for about 5 years. Well, actually, since Visual Studio 2005, so 10 years. And we decide, again, as we're re-implementing this feature, let's take a fresh look and build something that's a little bit more modern. So this is an inline rename experience, where as I type, you see it update everywhere in the editor. On the top right corner, there's a little dashboard giving you some options, letting you preview changes. But what's got the extra special sauce on this guy, and again, it's that kind of that Roslyn sauce, is that it will automatically detect conflicts for me, right? So if I type something that already existed, it's going to let me know. Right, so
before you do it,
it'll let you do it. If you say, okay, you know, enter, it's fine. Maybe this is a stepping stone to some larger change you're trying to make, and that's okay. But you know, we want to let you know that you know that's going to be a problem. So we're going to keep this as a good name, and then let's do another refactoring. Let's come down here, and we'll pick this expression. This is math pi times radius, right? This is pi r squared. This is calculating area of a circle. We should probably extract this into another method so that we can reuse it. I'm going to go ahead and press Alt Dot, pick Extract Method. Again, there's a preview letting us know what's going to happen. If you look at that preview very carefully down at the bottom right, you see it says Get Circle Area. And again, this is just kind of that little extra nice thing we've done there. It's like, oh, it's assigned to a variable called Circle Area. Let's give it the name Get Circle Area just to kind of get you started. If you didn't want that, you could type it as something else. For example, if I wanted to call it, say, Radius. Again, it's going to be a conflict. But in this case, and this is kind of what's really cool about the tool, is that it's not only detected a conflict, but it's automatically resolved it for you so that your program behavior doesn't change.
That's cool. Because right. It knows that you want to refer to this method because you were extracting it. So
yeah. So cool. Let's go ahead and go back to what we had before. This is fine. All right. Another refactoring. Now, one of the things I've shown here is that I started the introduce explaining variable. Or introduce local refactoring. That's a refactoring that hasn't been in the product before. That's a new refactoring. We're introducing a couple of new ones for C#, kind of these, I like to call the bread and butter refactorings. They're really about doing kind of highly productive coding, right? So introduce explain variable is one of those. The other one is kind of the opposite of that. That's inline temporary variable. So press Alt Dot, and I can inline this. It's only used, in fact, if I look, it's only used in one place, right? So it's kind of doesn't really hold its own weight. So I'll just go ahead and inline this. And then let's keep on going. Let's go very quickly here. I can move fairly quickly, not on your keyboard as easily as I can on mine. But we'll introduce a local for this one. Again, I'm introducing for all occurrences, so it's updating several places in the code. And then we'll do one more extract. Extract method. And we're good. And if I scroll back here, the code looks much better, right? It's not, you know, it's kind of all of the, these converts are pulled out and there's local variables that have good names. And so the code looks much better than it did before.
Right?
That's the sort of thing we're doing now. I should also mention that this is not just a C# thing. This all works in VB.
Nice.
Right? And so we've never shipped refactoring in the box for Visual Basic. So this is a big deal. With Roslyn is that, you know, we tried and it was hard many, many years ago and we couldn't get it done. And so now with Roslyn, we've taken the opportunity to go ahead and make sure we have a strong refactoring story for Visual Basic.
And that's been a big feature request for many years.
For many years.
One of those people.
Yes, I know. We did it just for you.
Thanks,
actually.
Cool, awesome. You guys are so awesome.
And so we're almost to the same spot. But I'm doing exactly the same refactoring, the same keystrokes, the same inline rename experience, that same conflict resolution, smart conflict resolution works there as well. And there's our VB code.
Cool.
Right. So really cool. I love that we've been able to get these kind of working across both languages. That actually brings me up to something else, and this is something that people have asked for. It's something that we kind of did for ourselves in a lot of ways. We have this really large code base of mixed Visual Basic and C#, because we have both compilers and we have both IDE experiences written in VB and C#.
Okay.
And so there was, you know, we were like, well, it should work really well between these languages. And sometimes we hear that. In fact, I was at TechEd this year and I had some customers come up to me and say, this is really hard. Why can't I just do go to definition between C# and VB? And that is something that we did enable with Roslyn. So let's say I want to... I'm going to new up a new customer here. We're just going to, whoops, excuse me. Okay, that's a control key. There we go. And I'm going to use a quick fix to generate a new type. All right. That new type, I'm going to say generate this in the C-sharp project,
cool.
C-sharp library. And so it's now added customer.cs at the very top. You see, I didn't even build, but it started, it went ahead and it colorized, so you know that it works. And if I press F12 on that, it goes to the C-sharp code.
That's awesome, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
So going back and forth between C-sharp and Visual Basic. Another thing that we added that is kind of along the similar lines is that if you do, say, something like find all references, so that's Shift F12, the find all references, say, the console.writeline, you'll see it shows up in both the C-sharp file and the BB file. So, so you can go across Visual Basic and C-sharp. So if you have code bases that do in some cases, it's just like I've got a set of VB libraries and I've got a bunch of C# UI or vice versa.
Right.
This is a really really cool
I
experience
like that.
Around that.
That's
some of what we've done.
So that's great. So yeah, so if you're like kind of have like the framework pieces and your your app pieces, you can like easily jump between. Now you were like also were saying go to definition, which what about if it's go to definition in like the framework?
Go definition in the framework. So Visual Basic traditionally has the way C# has always worked. Let's start with C# experience. C#, when you do go to definition on a framework type, it always goes to what we call metadata as source.
Right.
Is the name of the feature, right? And it goes to this kind of metadata view that looks like sort of like C#. It's actually not valid C# code because it's like there's declarations here that have this is not real C# code. It would fail a compiler, but it kind of looks like the type, and it's not the real source code, but it's something that you can use. And the cool thing about this feature is that you can continue to go through these, right? You can continue to go F12 and go through them. So Visual Basic has traditionally gone to the object browser, and we decided with Roslyn, let's try and unify this a little bit, and we decided to implement metadata source for Visual Basic. So if I F12 from VB, now I get a VB view of the world.
Okay.
As just like I did with C#. Now, one of the things that's kind of cool as well is that we tried very hard to make this experience in the metadata source a little bit better. So it's always worked from C# that if I did go to definition inside metadata source to something else, it would work. But other features didn't work. So we went ahead and made find references work, for example, from here. So it finds all the references of that write line in my projects.
Nice, okay.
Or I think, and we'll see, because I didn't try this earlier, we made call hierarchy work as well, right? And so here are the calls to write line. And call hierarchy, again, here it's working on both languages. It's working for C# and for Visual Basic, not just one.
I did that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really awesome. So just it goes across the solution regardless of the languages you can see.
Yeah, yeah. Between C# and Visual Basic. Between the two Roslyn languages
right now.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I dig that. I've been wanting this particular feature for
the metadata source.
That's just easier for me to look at. Now people still want to use the object browser, it's still there, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I fixed a bug in it this morning.
Cool.
So it's an implementation. So no, that is all still there. The class view, the object browser, all that business is still there. And actually, we're looking at whether we should add an option if people want to opt in back to that object browser behavior. Just because it's kind of a classic VB kind of feel.
Yeah.
But we've also gotten a lot of requests for this from folks like yourselves that wanted this more code centric sort of experience.
Gotcha. Very cool. I dig it. So, are there any other diagnostic type goodies that you're working on?
There's cool diagnostic type goodies. One thing I'd like to do, but I was unable to get it working this morning. But you'll notice that there are these analyzer folders here, and I'll just kind of talk through this a little bit, but what we envision here is your ability to not just add references to a project, but also to add little kind of binaries that have diagnostic analysis for Roslyn, that built on Roslyn, so they can go through and analyze your source code. And so you'd be able to right-click here to add an analyzer, or, this is also kind of tied very closely with FXCop. And our team owns FXCop, and so we're working on, figuring out, what are the right rules to port over to this sort of thing, so we can get an FXCop that isn't necessarily a build step, but something that runs live in the editor as well. So I get squiggles all the time, as I'm typing, so that I don't have to wait until a build sometime later. I broke that, right? Yeah. This is something that's used pretty heavily in kind of larger projects, enterprise projects, the notion, the you know, kind of the FX cop tools. And so we're really trying to make that a first-class citizen in Visual Studio, where it's not kind of this bolt-on experience, but it's something that's really part and parcel of the experience of coding.
That's cool. Yeah. So you can kind of, can Roslyn help you, like, or help, like, maybe an analyzer, author create tools that would allow them to, like, analyze patterns of code and suggest, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, so you're writing the code in the wrong way, mm-hmm. an anti-pattern.
Something that I know there's some folks looking at. We're also working with a couple of third parties that are looking at, well, how do we get our tools ported over, and having great experiences moving some of their tooling there, where they had to build everything themselves, over to use this kind of new diagnostic analyzer framework. And what's cool about it is that it runs in the compiler, you know, whether that's live in the IDE's compiler or the build compiler. So then this just goes right out to, you pass these analyzers, carry along with your project. They can be carried through NuGet, so they can come through NuGet package restore, and they can be brought down the build server and run there as well. Right?
That's,
and they can just
awesome.
Go with your project.
So you don't need to like install a new version of Visual Studio or an update or to
right.
get these things. Like, you can just pull them down.
Absolutely.
Anytime you need to use something like that. That's pretty awesome. Right? That's a great way to deliver those things.
Yeah.
That delivers value immediately and depends on what the programmer decides is
right.
valuable. Right?
And it also puts more control in the library author's hands, right? You know, we're not the domain experts in, say, you know, some of the great libraries out there, right? JSON.NET would be an example of something where it would be like, well, let's go write some diagnostics and make it easier to write JSON.NET code. But we don't know that domain as well.
That's
we're
right.
not the experts, but there's going to be, you know, the library authors can, or other people can come along and contribute these things as well. So that's
cool.
also pretty cool.
So have you gotten anybody to give you some ideas or feedback on the Dev 14 and, like, you know, here's an example that I did, or, you know, you open sourced all this stuff, right? So,
yeah, so
like,
yeah,
what
we,
kind of
we should probably,
community contributions?
We should probably talk about
Let's talk about the open source a little bit.
So roslyn.codeplex.com is where we've put all the source code up for the compilers and the layer above the compilers, which we call our workspace layer. The idea behind that is that the compilers themselves are really CSC.exe and VBC.exe. When you work with them, you're kind of working with an instance of the compiler. So you give it some files, you give it some references, and you get an assembly at the end. But the whole notion of kind of doing static analysis, you want something more than a single project, a single thing of references and files. You want multiple projects and that are all connected together, right, with project references and that sort
right.
of thing, that you can, so you can do solution analysis across a much larger set of things. And so the workspaces layer is designed to model that. So the workspaces layer is super cool. It hosts MS Build, and you can just load a solution up, and all of a sudden, and now you've got a whole model of the solutions, projects, documents, and Roslyn under the hood all connected together for you, so you don't have to go splunking through that.
Okay.
And it's a super useful kind of way for building kind of source code tools, because you don't have to just use Visual Studio. This is open source thing. You could run in a console app if you want to. You could build any sort of kind of rich tooling. We've had a good example of, actually, let me not look at this, the source code here. Let me go, where's the link, to the enhanced source view. We released this for the BCL, for the base class
yeah.
library, right? The reference source. When we put Roslyn out, we also released it for the Roslyn source code. And what this is this is a view of the code, but it's built with Roslyn. There's this wonderful colorized view of the code that's built itself with Roslyn. This is a tool somebody on our team went and wrote. He actually wrote it internally for all of Developer Division, and so he indexed all of Developer Division source code. And then it got very, very popular, and it turned into a bigger thing. And so now it's productized out with the base class library. But the cool thing about this is it's got links between everything. So if I want to click on something, it goes to there. If I, you know, the Go definition works. If I click it again, I get a very, very fast final references across the whole source code base, right? So this is a really awesome tool that we took advantage of with Roslyn. The base class libraries out there as well, but this was something that uses Roslyn in to build something that's not just an IDE, but something that's smart about source code.
Yeah.
Right. And and adds value and adds productivity to people.
I've actually browsed through it before, and you just kind of try and explain, well, it's powered by Roslyn, and it is the Roslyn source code you're looking at. So it's like double Roslyn.
Oh no, if you look too closely, there's a Stack Overflow and the universe implodes. You know, Higgs bosons and all that, right? So, so let's head back to the, back to the CodePlex site. This has been awesome for us. We've taken some, there's a bunch of forks of it already. We've taken contributions already, and that's something that's kind of interesting, is that there is sort of a history of pull requests here, and some of them are declined, but some of them are applied, right?
Cool.
We've taken code back, and this code is going to ship in Visual Studio. Right? It's part of the compiler now. And that's a really cool, kind of a cool, powerful thing. Another thing that we've taken advantage, though, in releasing the source code is just engaging the community in a completely different way mm-hmm. than we have before. And so that happens over here in the discussions, which has quite a bit of traffic, especially around the C# and Visual Basic language design. So both Mads and Lucien, mm-hmm. they after language design meetings, they go ahead and they post the notes at the same time I used to get them in my inbox. They post them publicly. And there's all sorts of conversation. So there's the notes, and then people start talking about it. And we've been able to get some really great feedback. It's really helped drive kind of the next versions of the language and help us make some decisions that were plaguing us. And it's been really amazing.
That's
so
great.
This is going into the open source has been tremendous for us.
So it's working for you guys.
It is working for us, and we are developing in the open. I mean, one of the things that you know, when this happened at Build, when we published this, that was a powerful day. And I was with one of the guys that kind of runs the CodePlex site, and he got a call immediately from his team. He's like, "Hey, the servers just spiked 50%. What just happened?" Because everybody started pulling the code base. Yeah, Martin. Yeah, and
that's cool.
Yeah, and then that was powerful. That was a really powerful moment. But equally powerful was when. Those people that went and cloned it that day, when the next day when they went and pulled, they found that there were bug fixes because the team is still back working and pushing to the open source. And so it's a very active project. We didn't just throw it over the wall. We have guys that this is their daily job and that's what they work on. And
cool.
So it's very, very cool.
And it's the future of the .NET compiler.
It's the future of the .NET compilers. Yeah.
It's awesome. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, As a .NET developer, I mean, this is just pure goodness for me then. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be able to regardless of what I'm going to be honest with you, I'm probably not going to change.
You're not a compiler geek.
I'm not a compiler geek. I'm going to still ask you to, you know, I want this feature request. I'm still going to go through you, Dustin. Sorry.
That's fine.
Probably I'm not going to do this.
That's fine, but we won't have to say no as well, right?
Right.
And,
But the thing is like, everybody's got to realize that this benefits them, even if they're not going to do that. I mean, this is just like spearheading all the innovation mm-hmm. around, you know, the compilers itself, and that's
right.
pretty cool.
And you know,
we're going to reap the benefits that other people are going to be able to do, and the cadence is just going to increase. I think too.
I'm excited to see what happens. I mean, I think as the ecosystem catches on, especially as it gets out there, as this is the official major release version of Visual Studio, and see the ecosystem start to catch. That's going to be huge for us. But then also after we kind of get through this, you know, hey, we finally got it out there, we've got into the product, and to see teams start picking it up even within Visual Studio
mm-hmm.
and all the things, the great things that'll come officially in the product, I think that's also really exciting. I've got, you know, my inbox is usually flooded with discussions about, oh, well, what if we did this and that, and we're almost ready to say, yes, let's go do it all, right? And almost there.
So you got like an active community in the public. They're excited. Mm-hmm. But internally, everybody seems to be super excited. So
yeah.
Okay. It's really going to help build some amazing things mm-hmm. across Visual Studio.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Dustin, thank you for explaining this to me, the value of it. I think I'm appreciative of all the hard work that you guys put into this, because I know it's been a while. It's a long
journey. It's been a while, but it's been a lot
of
fun.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm sure, for you guys, I'm sure it's been a ton of fun. I'm just happy to see some of the things come to my favorite language, you know, that I missed, and, you know, And so it's nice to see that that innovation kind of starting to really speed up.
Yeah.
That's really good. So anything else you want to tell the community or give us feedback on the
absolutely.
Dev 14? So,
try the Dev 14 CTP.
Yeah.
Give us feedback. Also, you know, at build for, if you're scared of installing a CTP, I get it. We released an end user preview of Roslyn that installs on top of Visual Studio 2013.
I see that. Go to the Roslyn site and it's got
down
it all here.
Down here, go to the end user preview.
Okay.
That's a way that you can just try out the experience and the compilers, right? And there's telemetry built in there. It'll give us feedback. It'll tell us about how the performance is, all those kinds of things.
Cool.
Just trying it out and using it is going to be helpful to us. If you're really, really anxious about trying out, if you're the kind of guy that likes to, or gal that likes to play with source code and write extensions, there's also an SDK preview for building diagnostics, building refactorings, and kind of playing around with the APIs themselves. There's some bits out there for you to try, and we'd love to get some feedback.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Justin. We'll have to do this again soon.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.